The stocks discussed on PTS Radio are not in any way a solicitation or recommendation to buy, sell, or hold. If considering acting on information presented, we recommend that you seek out a licensed professional for advice. Get ready for the radio show that is all about trading. It's your weekly dose about how to trade your account. Here is your host, Mel Raymond.
Welcome to PTS Radio on what should be a very exciting week, at least for me. We go in tomorrow afternoon to set up for the course, which is on Monday and Tuesday. We've got traders coming from as far away as Thailand. I'm really looking forward to this. If you're listening, we look forward to meeting you. I do need to mention that if you, for any reason, write to PTS, an email, a subscription, or anything of that nature, after 4 o'clock on Sunday, we will respond to you on Tuesday evening when we return from the course. All our resources go to making this a great event. PTS offers this course only 3 times a year, and we try to produce the best traders we can and meet their needs, and it's very, very important to them. It's very, very important to us. We had a relatively productive trading week this past week, although it wasn't as good as the week before. If you've been watching the VIX, you notice it's just drifting down and drifting down. I believe it ended somewhere around 35. So it's not as volatile, but I noticed this week doing setups that there were a lot of good setups. So a number of stocks have gotten themselves in position to make either a great long or short move. Let's take a look at on the PTS Radio page. If you want to follow that on your computer, it's ptsradio.com, and just follow the links. Our best trade this week was AVB for 519. Our worst trade of the week was a dollar on EOG. I believe there were 26 or 27 profitable trades, more than 5 a day. That's enough to keep anybody out of trouble. Now, last weekend, we gave you some comps, Apollo and EOG. Apollo was long twice, if you're following the triggers, once for $3.40 and once for $1.29. EOG was a long for $2.76 and $2.49, and a short from the short trigger for $1.36. I believe it when people tell me that they're making their full-time incomes just trading the comps. Now let's take a quick look at the market and where it might be going, and then we'll go into some detail on that in a moment. First of all, the charts show, I'm looking at INDU, the Dow Jones 30 Industrials. They show that it's still moving up. It's not grossly overbought. But take a look at your weekly chart. If you have PTS, we keep a couple of moving averages running across there, and one of them is the 32-week, and the price is having trouble getting through that. In fact, the week is bending over at that point. It's just struggling, and it's forcing these stocks into kind of a channel. Notice that the INDU, the Dow as it went up, was in a series of loops. To me, that's not a sign of strength. It's struggling up and struggling up. Well, the NASDAQ has gotten through the 32-week. The NAS is actually doing better than some of the others. Let's take a look at the S&P 500, SPX. You'll see the same pattern on the day chart. Those series of loops fighting their way up, and the week is jammed up against the 32-week moving average. It has not been able to get through it. If it doesn't get through it, this may be the end of it. I don't know. But we'll talk about the ins and outs of that in a moment. If you want to look at an actual stock, just take a look at the spiders. SPY. Well, lo and behold, there's the same chart, of course, that we saw in a Dow. It's not making big moves. In fact, Friday was only up 74 cents. Volume's still pretty good, but not as big as it was, say, a month ago. It was far greater. Maybe another 100 million shares a day. Now, that should tell you a lot in itself. But if not, we're going to move on and talk about what some of the experts are saying. First, I want to take some comments from Bill Bonner, who's the CEO at Agora. I love to read his column every weekend. He writes, "When the rally comes, at first, investors are hesitant. They've just lost a lot of money, and they don't trust the market. They wait. Then, as prices rise more, they begin to pay careful attention and wonder, is it time to get back in? Gradually, more and more commentators answer, yes. And so the money comes back into the stock market. A trickle at first, then a flood. Prices rise, and the financial press talks about a new bull market. Sound familiar? But if it is a real bear market, this is just a way of bringing naive investors back into the market so they can be destroyed. Prices fall again to a much lower level. Often this process is repeated several times before the real bottom comes, and by then, nobody cares. Just this evening, I was reading another stock market expert who's quite an active trader, and he believes this himself. So anything's possible. He believes that we're having a bull market and that we're going to go quite a bit higher. I mention this because we're traders. Most of our trades last a day to maybe 3 days, sometimes a little bit longer. Go ahead, enjoy. If you see everybody piling into a trade long, it's okay. But be sure you check a few things first. You do want volume coming in. You do want it to be the right place on the charts. You know, in other words, a support area, a place where I've given you a trigger long, that sort of thing. Or have you checked the trend? The trend goes up and down. It goes up when the market goes down. Above one is generally positive. Below one is actually negative breath in the market. But I noticed Friday the trend made so many reversals, it was actually consolidating. But do check that. Then check the VIX. Again, that runs inversely to the market. So if the VIX is climbing, the market should be falling. Now check the indices. You're going long, for example, on a Dow stock. What's the Dow doing? Is it negative? Is it red? You probably shouldn't be going long unless you're on a contrarian stock. Is the Dow going into a rally and moving up and up and up? How about the SPX? Is that on its way up? Make sure these things are with you, and then you're probably relatively safe. Remember, we're not investors, we're traders. We're not going to leave our money there forever and then find out in 2 or 3 weeks that we got killed. We're just going to take our profit. While I'm thinking about this, because if you are a PTS subscriber and get our setups, you might wonder, how accurate are the targets? And I noticed on Amazon we gave two targets for Thursday. The first was 82.67. This is for a long. And then the second was 84.22. Check it out. Amazon triggered and ran to a high of 82.67, our first target. We didn't miss it by a penny. Right nailed on. Just great. And then it reversed. By the way, we give two targets because we don't always know if it'll make it to the second. So when you get to the first, see what's going on. The Dow was having a flat to down day. That trade, however, was still good for $1.67. Don't hang on and say, gee, Mel said 84.22 is the second. I'm not leaving till we get there. If it falls apart, it's made the first target. By all means, take your money off the table. An economist that I read very often is John Malden, and today he says there are those who say the stock market will start rising 6 months before the economy does. Oh, we have a good economy? Well, anyway, and maybe it will. I don't know, he says. The predisposition of this market is down. Valuations are not at a level that have spawned major bull markets in the past. At the beginning of a real bull market, volume is strong and rising. Now it is weak, modest at best, and shows no real sign of becoming strong, especially as we go into summer. Further, this rally has all the earmarks of a major short squeeze. Do you all know what a short squeeze is, folks? If people have been short and the market starts to go up, they've got to close the shorts. How do you close a short? You have to buy, and that forces the market up. So obviously, some of this move up is simply a short squeeze. Now, regulators have recently and correctly been enforcing short selling rules that require stock to be delivered and settled on short trades. This may be a one-time event. When the short squeeze is over, the buying will stop and the market will drop. Remember, it takes buying and a lot of it to move a market up, but only a lack of buying to create a bear market. Corporate earnings are likely to go even lower, as consumer spending is likely to get weaker in the coming months. Capacity utilization is at its lowest point since they began tracking it. The National Federation of Business says a recent survey shows none of the responders plans to raise prices, which again is not a sign of business strength. I was kind of curious about the housing market today, and I found a videotape that came out of a news broadcasting service in California that showed the destruction of over 20 homes, with 20 more to be destroyed within the day. Who was destroying them? These are brand new, never lived in homes. They were being destroyed by a bank. Rather than hold them on the books, they're just sending out demo teams. This is how bad some of these situations really are. Again, we're waiting for several other shoes to fall. The collapse of the credit card business, commercial property is another one that we expect to crash, and probably insurance. So I don't think we're out of the woods, and I don't think this is a bottom. But again, if you see a mini rally going or a nice rally, go ahead, get in, take the money, and then leave. That's all. Now let's move on to some questions that you very kindly sent in for this broadcast. The first question we have on the broadcast is from Len. Len also had a great question last week. I think Len's going to take over as our official questioner. Len says, how do you decide which trade to get into? I just started the picks and loaded the triggers into an alert window. Several shorts fired off before the market opened. As soon as the market opened, I had so many alerts go off that I could not watch the charts, just turning the alerts off. So the first thing I suggest is take a look at the setups and decide which ones you like best. Now, it might be a matter of price. I might have a short on a $90 stock, and you think, I like the chart of the setup of the $20 stock just as much, and I can afford the $20 stock. Well, then eliminate the 90. You might find a few that have already triggered and are being held over. Get them off of there. Just change them to zeros on your alert window. Start narrowing it down. Suppose you want to trade options with them. In one particular setup, you look at the options. They're not very good. There's not much open interest, for example, or the spread's too big. Then pick one that you do like. So kind of narrow it down ahead of time. Then get there before the market opens and see what's going on. Some of them may be moving up in the pre-market and they're going to gap. Maybe you don't want them. So try to narrow it down to stocks that you like, setups that you like, and stocks that are going to open about right for you. Len also says, I hate trading in the first half hour, but that appears to be when most of the long moves took place today. On that particular day, there are other days where I've seen the market reverse in the afternoon and take off, go long. Anyway, when I did catch up, I got in late and it went against me too much. Maybe I have too tight of a tolerance level. Had I ignored the negative dip, I would have come out ahead, but well below the targets. Well, I'll tell you what. Now we're dealing with execution. We're dealing with what the markets are doing. There are days when I look at the indices, I look at the trend, and I think, gee, this is just not a good day to trade. It's a good day to go do something else. Some days, the market just skids sideways. Look at the volume on, for example, the spiders or on any of your stocks. And you might see, I'm looking at a stock that typically does a couple of million a day. We're already past 11 o'clock. It's only done 300,000 shares. We're not trading today. Take the day off. You don't have to trade every single day. Now, I hope this helps a little. Some of this comes with experience. We can tell you where to go long, where to go short, but we can't tell you what the market's going to do. We know what to do when there's momentum going up or down, but if it's just getting sideways, you really can't do anything with it. Another question, which goes into great detail, I won't read it all, but the question basically boils down to, I left a lot of money on the table. How should I know when to get out? Depending on your trade style, let's say, for example, you've got a good confirm on the 30, your price target somewhere near the top of that. You see the 30 as you trade move to the top of the channel. Your 15 is getting near the top of the channel. Maybe the market's pulling back, maybe not, but you're concerned at this point, then start to watch a very short chart for your final exit. It might be a 5-minute chart. Take a look over at your pivot chart, too. Maybe you're at R2, and you see some selling starting to come in. Don't hesitate. Go ahead and take your money. You might have $1.50 or $2 or $5, whatever. Take your money and leave. You're never going to do wrong doing that. Now, suppose you're a swing trader, and you've decided I'm going to hold the stock to the top of the 180 or the 90, whatever chart seems to be outlining the trade pretty well, and it's starting to get there. Start watching a shorter chart, and then a shorter chart, and a shorter chart to get out. It's just the reverse of the way we go in. Those are good questions, and I thank you very much. If you would like to have a question answered on the broadcast, it doesn't have to be about PTS. It could just be about trading in general. Send it to PTS_support@comcast.net, and we'll get it on the broadcast for you. I do want to respond to John, who wrote a very involved question about Keynesian economics and the flexible money supply. John, we can't even begin to deal with the question you asked. Our money supply, the current economic crisis that we find ourselves in right now, I believe, was caused, it was made to happen, as was the 29 crash, and that an awful lot of money is simply being stolen from the United States. I've read this. I can show you the sites on this. In fact, I heard on the news one night, $3 trillion of what's been put out as stimulus has just flat out disappeared. I have a pretty good idea where it was. But to go through all of that on a short broadcast is virtually impossible. The banks, I know you're concerned about why we're having a credit shortage. The banks are sopping up a lot of this money and they don't want to let it go right now. They're using it because they really need it. They're really in a lot worse shape than you might believe. They don't even trust each other. I'm going to have to let it go with that, but if you want to contact me personally, I can suggest lots of websites and lots of YouTube films that explain the overarching situation that we find ourselves in right now. We're here with PTS coach Mike Bizunas. What kind of activity is prompting your appearance today?
Hi, Mel. I've seen some issues of late here on the message board, people having various computer issues. Maybe I can offer a couple of ways to get around some of these that I've had to use in the past myself. And a few of them were already mentioned, and a few of them weren't. So we might just pass those along to our listeners.
Yeah, that could help. There was a lot of activity on the message board Friday dealing with computer issues, and as you know, that can stop a trader dead in his or her track.
Correct. There's a new process, one of them that I found some time back by, it's called UniBlue Process Quick Link, and someone had mentioned that they were on Task Manager earlier, and Task Manager, if you drag your mouse down to the taskbar at the bottom and open Task Manager, you'll see a list of items there that most people can't figure out what they belong to, and that's in the Processes tab. If you download this program, UniBlue, what it will do is when you open it, you don't have to leave it open all the time, but when you open it, it will put a little green dot next to every one of these image names, and if you click on the green dot, it will actually tell you whether that process is necessary or not necessary. It gives you a really good heads up as to what that process does, and then you can determine for yourself whether or not you want to delete it or just shut it down using Task Manager, in other words, end process at the bottom, or go through it another way.
That is very helpful. I know one of the issues was somebody said I could find everything that's running, but I'm not sure if it's supposed to be running or what it is.
Right, and this program is free, so that makes it even better. One of the others that was mentioned, I'm sure a couple of times in the past, was CCleaner, but I'm not sure people are using CCleaner to the best of its advantage. If you run this UniBlue Process Quick Link and you go into CCleaner afterward and open the Tools section, on the Tools section there's a Startup tab. If you look at the Startup tab, it will again show you what processes run on Startup, and what you can do is just basically highlight that or click on it, and it will give you the option to disable it as far as the Startup mode. It doesn't change the program, it just keeps it from starting up, and it's a really starting up on your computer boot up, so it eliminates a lot of that drag on your computer as well.
Yeah, I hope people are picking this up, because I know my computer wants to run all the Adobe programs. It wants to run Microsoft Office. If I'm not using them right now, I'm just running trading software. I don't need that drag on our memory and on our chip capacity and so on. I don't need that. So what you just simply do is disable them in the startup. You still have the software, It's just not running right now. When, if you were to click on Microsoft Word, it will start. But otherwise, you don't need it.
That's true. Even Outlook. If you're using Outlook for your email or Outlook Express for your email, shut down Outlook. You don't need Outlook during the day. Just open it occasionally, go back in, and see if you have any messages, and shut it down. You can do it, you know, every 15, 20, 30 minutes if you want to. But for the time being, you're not really adding any additional CPU usage to your program when you shut it off.
That's good. Is there any other software that you'd recommend? I know I recommended a number about a month or two ago.
Well, this Advanced System Care you mentioned, it was also mentioned on the board, and I ran it for a week or so, and I really liked it. I've been using a lot of different software, but I really like this one. It does seem to make your computer run a little faster. It does a pretty good job cleaning up a lot of the items that are really not necessary on your computer at night, and it does a quick defrag. Not the first time. The first time took me over an hour. But the second or third time, or basically right now I run it every night, and to run the whole process and do the cleanup, it's called OneCare when you get into it. It doesn't take more than 5 minutes to run through the whole thing, and I find my computer starts up quicker, and it also shuts down quicker.
Yeah, I do a free defrag in maybe 30 seconds now once it's already been defragged. It's just amazingly fast.
Yeah, it doesn't really take up any time at all. Something else that I've been using for a while, I'm not sure, I haven't found any detriment, and I do think that it does speed up the computer during trading session. If you open Windows Task Manager, again, you click on the taskbar, blank space on the taskbar at the bottom, right-click, and open up Windows Task Manager. If you click on the tab that says Processes, if you're using iQuote, InstaQuote, find the InstaQuote. It'll say InstaQuote 32EXE. Right-click on it, and once it's highlighted, go down to Set Priority. There's a box that comes up. Click on Set Priority, and then go over to Real Time. And if you click on Real Time, it seems to leave the iQuote 32 in the lead process. You get a little task manager warning box that comes up, but I just ignore it. I click on yes, it's never created an issue for me. You can try it if you like, but I think these things have increased my speed considerably over the last couple of months. And also the other thing that's a good idea to do is constantly check the computer time, your computer time in the lower right-hand corner of your screen, your taskbar, against the platform time if you're running iQuote, and be sure that they're current. If you're using something like a 5-minute pivot chart, if you notice any of the candles missing on a 5-minute pivot chart, your server's not giving you information, so you need to change the server.
Right. I mentioned that to somebody this week. It's easy to change servers, right?
That's correct.
You just click on connect, abort, and then connect again, and you should see the server number on your taskbar change.
Right. The servers in the task, well, on the iQuote window, whether it's Noble or DAE, where the no pending orders, the green box shows, you have right next to it, there's two groups of numbers. As I look at mine tonight, it says 233, 153, and then there's another group that starts with something else. The first group of numbers is actually your chart server number. That's the one that you want to see change. If it doesn't change, just try it again, click, go through the process, click it again. You want it to change to try to get a different server. The second group of numbers actually relates to your account number.
Now, I wanted to mention before we end our interview tonight, because we're going to run out of time, we do have a course with people coming in Sunday night. Is there any advice you'd like to give to our new traders, the people that are just entering PTS and will be training on Monday and Tuesday?
Be wide awake and ready to do battle, because Mel Raymond is going to put you through the real process. You have to learn, and he's going to teach you. He's going to give you probably a course like you've never had one before. You have to absorb it all, every bit of it.
And it works. That's the amazing thing.
And it works.
We had a really terrible sideways market this week. We still generated more than 5 trades per day out of this mess. So I hope it doesn't get much worse than it is now. I think the market will find some new direction eventually. I think it's working up to it. But, Mike, I want to thank you again for being with us, and we'll be talking to you next week, and we'll probably have some information that came out of the course.
Thank you, Mel, and I'm sure you're going to have a bunch of very, very bright, willing traders that you meet with this week.
On every broadcast, we go over the setups for the coming week's complimentary setups. And this week we have Apollo for a return performance and SPG. Now you might want to bring up some charts. APOL is the first. It's a school stock. It's a mover shaker. It's a favorite of the traders with an average true daily range of $3.39. I mentioned that it closed at the mean of the day. Now, coming down to the mean is going to act as support. It's that old principle of reversion to the mean, and it has plenty of room to fall. Selling was very light, and it could reverse on the oversold midterm charts. You know, coming down to the mean brought the midterms down into an oversold range. So anything's possible, but I love a setup like this because the potential to go long or short is there. Now you notice it's been moving. Apollo is below the 325. That's a moving average we use a lot. It's also below the 20-day moving average, and they converge. So it's a possibility that it'll consider that resistance and continue to fall. I know what some people are thinking. There was a lot of buying at the close Friday. Yes, there was. But it had been falling for several days. Could this not be simply covering before the weekend? It could be. We gave you triggers that should bring you in at about the right price, long or short. Because if you look over at your weekly chart, you'll see that support's a long, long way below where the price is right now. Isn't it possible that this will continue to fall? Now also notice on the week that selling was way, way down this past week. If we run out of sellers, it's possible that they will run this up again. I've seen it repeatedly with Apollo. Again, it's a favorite of traders. It looks to me, from the charts, the very short charts, that it could fall a little bit in the open. But I'd be looking for this to reverse either Monday or Tuesday. Now, it depends a lot on what the markets are going to do next week. But I think you'll get a good trade, maybe both directions, out of Apollo. Now, the second one's SPG, the big kahuna of the REITs, Real Estate Investment Trusts. And I wrote, SPG is not overbought, and it should follow market direction. In other words, if we have a very down market, it'll probably head down. If we have an up market, they may run it up. There's no logic or fundamentals involved here. They're in a lot of trouble. I don't think they're going to have good earnings for years to come. I don't know if they'll even survive. So why run them up? Nonetheless, they will. Now, I mentioned in the instructions that the second short target is the 20-day moving average. A failure to hold support here could see more shorting into the 30s. This is a stock that's close to $50. I mean, there's some potential major move here. Now, it does have an average true daily range of $4.50, which in itself is fairly impressive. So we know it's going to move around a lot. It's just a matter of knowing where it's going to move. Let's take a look at the SPG charts, which right now are short. Notice the week is doing the same thing we saw earlier with the SPX. It's run into the 32-week moving average and sort of flattened out. It's getting rebuffed there. It's a tough area to get through. That 32-weekly average is something that's used a lot by the professionals. Now, if you look down, say, at a 90-minute chart, you'd say, yeah, but it's really in position to go long. Yes, it is. This is a stock that I like, the setup, because if it did go long, I'm going to be able to gauge the entrance and get very readable charts. But if it wants to go short, I can see that it has the world to fall below it. Also notice, those of you that are running PTS, and if you're running a 20-day moving average, that 20-day moving average has provided support for many, many, many weeks. The price has stayed above it. If you see it break down below that 20-day moving average, you're probably going to have a very, very significant short. I need to also mention that beginning last week, we start publishing, along with our regular setups, our long-term trade setups. I expect at some point this market to do a really hard reversal, a really hard sustained reversal. And we've been putting some stocks up there that should go long or short with this next move. Now let's talk about the shorts for a minute. If they keep going up, we will keep moving the triggers up as appropriate and ratchet behind them so that we don't miss them. When they do go, these are the kinds of trades that will give you 10, 20, 30, or 40 points. Those kinds of moves. The kind of move that'll buy you a new home or pay for that Lexus or that trip to Europe that you've been thinking about taking. So we're now including those. We've got quite a few stocks on that list. We've added several. If you're a subscriber, you'll notice we added several more. We don't know when this is going to come, when this is going to occur. It might not occur till June or July, but I think the point is going to hit pretty soon, unless we can get some super enthusiasm going, which, as we mentioned earlier in the broadcast, the experts think is sorely lacking at the moment. It's been, as usual, a pleasure doing the broadcast. I'm really looking forward to the Monday and Tuesday course and meeting wonderful people from all over the United States and from throughout the world. I hope to report back some interesting happenings at the next broadcast. I want to thank you very, very much for being with us today. I hope you have a very profitable week. This is your host, Mel Raymond, and I look forward to seeing you later in a week in the markets.